Welcome, everyone, to an enlightening episode of the Great Teachers Movement podcast.
That's right, Pat. We're here to celebrate the incredible individuals who are shaping the future of education one classroom at a time.
I'm your host, Pat Hendrickson, and with me is my co-host, Steve Smith.
Thanks, Pat. It's an honor to journey with you through the stories and innovations of those shaping education.
But before we get started, let's hear a word about our sponsor. I am beyond excited about our very first sponsor, The Roost. Are you tired of hunching over your laptop, straining your neck and back? Introducing the Roost Laptop Stand, the ultimate solution for ergonomic bliss. Its sleek, foldable design and featherlight weight make it the perfect companion for your on-the-go lifestyle. With 7 selectable height settings, it matches your laptop screen to your eye level, ensuring optimal posture. Say goodbye to discomfort and say hello to productivity. Get your Roost laptop stand today. I've purchased several of these to use for myself and to give as gifts. Visit the website now and elevate your workspace with the Roost. The Roost Stand. .com Roost, where comfort meets convenience. Tell them you heard about it on the GTM podcast. Subscribe to our podcast and you'll be entered into a drawing for your very own Roost. Each week, we bring you inspiring guests who share their insights, experiences, and innovative approaches to teaching and learning. Right, Steve?
Correct. And today's no different. We have an exceptional guest lined up who's ready to share their wisdom with all of you.
But before we dive in, let's take a moment to reflect on the power of education and the impact it has on our lives and society as a whole.
Absolutely. Education is not just about imparting knowledge. It's about empowering minds, fostering creativity, and instilling a lifelong love for learning.
Educators like our guest today are at the forefront of this noble endeavor, inspiring students to reach their fullest potential.
So without further ado, let's give a warm welcome to our guest for today's episode of the Great Teachers Movement podcast.
Joining us today is Elaine Cruz, a pharmacy tech instructor and licensed pharmacist who has dedicated their career to revolutionizing education.
We're thrilled to have Elaine with us, and we can't wait to delve into some thought-provoking discussions about the future of teaching and learning.
So sit back, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready to be inspired as we embark on another journey of educational enlightenment.
Welcome to the Great Teachers Movement podcast.
Hi, Steve and Pat. It's great to be here.
Well, we are glad to have you. Elaine, tell us about your initial involvement in the Great Teachers Movement.
So the first seminar that I went to was in 2019. It was the West Virginia Great Teachers Seminar at North Bend State Park. And Steve was our leader that year.
Wow. That's right. I remember meeting you for the first time there. That's right.
At the time, I was a faculty member at the Marshall University School of Pharmacy.
When we think about great teachers, we think about their innovative ideas.
Yes, the innovation that I would choose to share is actually one that I implemented in the spring of 2021 after having been to the Great Teacher Seminar. And it was a very difficult time. We were still masked up and I was teaching from my office with the door shut. Wow. And our students only came in to take exams and for labs. And it was a very isolating time. And I had found that mindfulness practice was helping me over the past year before that. And I just kept feeling this tug that I needed to implement mindfulness into our Pharmacy Practice 2 course. And it seemed very daunting and I didn't really want to do it. But I actually believe that being at that first seminar is what caused me to feel empowered that I could do it. I knew that there were people there, still people supporting me from that seminar. And I looked online and researched about professors that had implemented mindfulness into their classroom in pharmacy schools. And I found Brianna McQuaid, who is a professor at the University of Illinois Chicago College of Pharmacy. And she had made a whole elective about mindfulness and was using what used to be the KORU method of implementing mindfulness in a classroom. And it's now called the Mindfulness Institute for Emerging Adults. And so from that thesis, I started to believe that I could do this too, and that I could put it in some small way into our Pharmacy Practice 2 course. And what we did was every day class started the same way and with the same slide on the screen. And we would meditate for 3 to 5 minutes using a meditation that I was allowed to play, had permission from Dr. Dan Siegel to play. And after that, they would go into their breakout groups. They had the same breakout group for the semester, and they would work on just talking about their mindfulness practice over the week. And they would fill out a log sheet and submit it to me of how many minutes they had practiced that week, and if there were any issues coming up or what they were noticing. And it was successful in that semester. I had students mentioning that when they were at their job at the hospital delivering medicines, that they would notice their feet on the floor while they were delivering the medicines. And I had other people mention that when they were out walking their dog, they noticed the air on their face. And those were exactly the things that I was hoping for to get them to be more aware and in their present moment experience.
And I can see how mindfulness would be important to students, just their overall health and well-being with all the different pressures around, especially as you mentioned during the pandemic. And then getting back into an environment where there are a lot of people, but also the practical skill of logging information. I think that that's another great skill that you would get from something like that. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, we know that the great teacher's process is a first-person oriented event. It's all about you as the instructor, as a participant. In fact, the agenda and the topics that are discussed in the great teacher's seminar come directly from participants. Elaine, going back to the mindfulness concept, how did that did you become mindful of the process when you were a participant in your first seminar? So having that in the forefront of your existence and experience coming into the seminar, as you seem somewhat reflective, how did you interface the mindfulness, or how did that impact you, or how did you experience that in the great teacher's seminar itself?
So I think there's a lot of mindfulness practice already integrated into what we do at Great Teachers. It's really a lot about reflecting, just being aware and being where you are. So the fact that there's no pre-planned agenda, you can be very mindful when you don't necessarily have to prepare for or know what's coming up next.
Sure. And actually, reflection is one of the hallmark characteristics of the seminar. We don't
Absolutely.
do a lot in the leadership. We don't do so much, so a lot happens. And in fact, it allows for that time, the void, as I like to call it, for you as a participant to have that freedom and flexibility to be more reflective about your own practice and teaching.
So now, speaking about teaching, we know that there are never any problems out there with teaching, right? There are just opportunities to learn, is what I was told. So when we think about problems or challenges or opportunities to learn, we share those at the seminars. So, Elaine, what's one of those that you could share with us that you had perceived as an instructional problem, something that you encountered that's common to many teachers?
So the problem that I took with me to my first seminar was a lack of student engagement in the material. I had actually provided them one day in class a survey of to rank on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do I want to be in class today? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do I want to learn this material? And it was kind of a readiness ruler in motivational interviewing, because I knew if they said, I want to be in this class a 2, I could say, well, why wasn't it a 1? Try to make them maybe focus on why they did actually want to be there. But what astounded me was I wasn't surprised that they didn't want to be in class, but I was surprised to find out that many of them did not have any interest in learning the material. And it was a class about diabetes medications and just very important things for them to know as a pharmacist. So,
Well, I mean, Elaine, as an instructor, what was your, how did that hit you? I mean, what did you do with
I mean,
after
I
you
had a
stopped
period of
crying?
I had a period of grief. Like I still have a feeling of like intense concern when I talk about it. It was very disturbing, but I took it to the seminar, and at the seminar I began to feel less alone because a lot of people brought student engagement concerns. And when we talked it through, then at least I knew I had a group of people to brainstorm solutions with anytime that I wanted to. And I had their email addresses and could always reach out. And like I said, I think that that's what helped me implement my innovation was knowing that I had those people in my corner still.
And how often does that happen at a conference? I mean, that's to me, that would be such a resource for you.
Yes, it's very powerful to become part of great teachers.
I mean, I've gone to a lot of different conferences like Steve referred to, and you walk away with, some ideas, but you don't necessarily walk away with a network of people that, are interested in helping you resolve things or at least brainstorm through some different ideas. So thanks for sharing that with us. I think it's definitely something we can all relate to. Now, as you know, when we go to a seminar, there's a virtual library of books on a table, and people bring different information, and it doesn't have to be related to teaching, but it's some type of a book that you found especially interesting or valuable to you as either a teacher or a learner.
So I've got two, and I actually have one that I got from a seminar too. So the two that I always take are The Mindful 20-Something from Holly Rogers and Mindfulness for the Next Generation. So both of those books, The Mindful 20-Something can help students understand what mindfulness is, and then the Mindfulness for the Next Generation is more for instructors and learning how to implement it into their classrooms and
That
go ahead.
goes back to your innovation. So those kind of su did those support that innovation, or is that something that you found helpful even after as you continued your mindfulness practice?
So those two books were ones that I learned about from the thesis that I was telling you about. And then another book that was at the first seminar on the table was called The Holy Man by Susan Trott. It's a good book.
And what's that book about?
So it's about a man in a little hut, and people wait for days and hours and years to go encounter this man, and then they go to the door and he walks them through the house and out the back door and off they go. So it's a spiritual book, but it's fiction. Yeah, you should just read it.
Yeah, well, we'll put that in the show notes with a little summary. So now comes an important part of the episode where we ask you to pick one of three emergent trends. So, are you ready to pick one of three?
I'm ready.
Okay, so I looked up a couple of emerging trends in higher education. So, here are three. One, reduced enrollment barriers. Two, student supports to improve retention. Or three, high return academic programs. So take a moment and tell us which one you want to address.
Oh, Pat, we should place a bet on which one Elaine picks. What do you want to wager?
I
Do you have
say high return academic.
Oh, okay.
And what do you say?
No, I can't remember what you said, so I'll let
Now I
Elaine
have to
pick the
edit
one she.
this. Okay, Elaine. So what did you decide? Which one are you going to address? And you can keep it brief.
I would choose student supports to improve retention. As a teacher, I was always concerned about the students and their mental health. And I do think that we've got a crisis going on right now, not just with students, but with lots of humans. And I think that integrating mindfulness throughout can give students skills and to learn to regulate their emotions and learn what emotions are. So many of us growing up were taught not to feel things, to suppress our emotions, and that is leading to a lot of problems in our world.
I have a question, Elaine. Sorry
That's
to
okay.
interrupt. So, given the nature of students, like our community college students as a whole come to us with their lives, right? We're an open door institution, and universities too. So, as an instructor, how do you approach that, knowing that mindfulness is important to you, and knowing for yourself that the student is really important? How do you reconcile it? How does that affect your approach in dealing with people in your classroom? As in, knowing what you know about the importance of mindfulness, and knowing what you know about the student-centered and student learning focus of great teachers, as an instructor coming into your class, how do you take things from the great teachers' movement that have affected you? And then on the other side, you're acknowledging and recognizing that students are vulnerable. They come to us from all walks of life with all types of issues that are going to impact your instruction. So how do you blend that in your craft as an instructor?
I mean, I feel like great teachers did that for me. Like, great teachers helped me feel supported so that I could support the students in the way that they needed to be supported.
I've been to a number of seminars and held some at, my own institution. And for me, it was hearing those different perspectives and actually getting outside of my own institution and outside of our template for, that particular issue, and hearing how other universities and other instructors and were managing or addressing.
David Gottschall, the founder of the Great Teachers Movement, was really obsessed in a positive way, with the student perspective. What the student brings as a resource, what the student brings as a valuable input into the learning process. And that's really where that's one of the core areas where the whole movement started. When he developed the seminar process, it was the meta-analysis. It's the bringing teachers together to experience first person what you want to allow your students to experience first person in the classroom. It's that translation, the modeling in the seminar of a method for teaching in the classroom. It's really deep, but the impact for students and for instructors is significant.
Yeah, I love that. And I do think that you come away different in seeing the different perspectives and in seeing the way that the container is created there. You come away with a new way of being in the classroom.
For sure.
So now you get to talk about your favorite teacher and why.
So my favorite teacher was a high school math teacher named Mrs. King. And her influence was greater than I knew because I did some of the things that she had done in my classroom. I don't think I ever connected it back to her, but
Oh, that's pretty cool.
she had us in a math class write about different writing prompts every week, and we'd like turn them in on Friday and she'd give them back on Monday. And she literally like wrote feedback to each of us, and it wasn't about math, it was about life. And she volunteered her time after school to help us if we were struggling. And I remember that was one of the first times that I ever had to like go after hours and say, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't understand this topic and I don't know how to do it. And I was having trouble with the slope of a line in math. And I remember sitting there with her and being like, but I don't understand. Is it from left to right or right to left? And she didn't make fun of me. She was like, that is pivotal. Like, that question that you just asked is so important. What a great question. And I always used to tell my students when they would ask a question, what a great question. There really is no dumb question. Wherever you are, finding out where the students are and meeting them there. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so important.
I wonder if Mrs. King will be listening.
I
That would be
think you
exciting.
should share
Thank you, Mrs.
this
King.
with her. You'll have to let
Yes.
Mrs. King know. We want to Thank you for bringing Elaine to us and helping her on her journey.
Okay, so is this left to right or right to left? Which is the correct way? Or does it
So
matter?
if the line is going from left to right, you read it from left to right. So if it's going
Oh,
up, it's positive. If it's going down from left to right, it's negative. But I kept looking at the line and I could see it either way. You know what I mean? Yeah.
yeah, and
Yeah.
that happens with instructors, Pat and Elaine. We can't, we read left to right or right to left. We can't tell if we're going up or down sometimes. And sometimes it doesn't matter. Of course, in math, it does,
Well,
obviously.
and you know, in every language does not read left to right, as
That's
someone pointed
right.
out to me one
That
time.
is
And I
correct.
was kind of embarrassed because I should have known that. You know, so I think these conversations are good to have where people point out things to you that you think are solid and in place when actually not necessarily. So, you know, looking at how students look at a slope, it could be interpreted a number of different ways.
Pat, we have a pharmacist talking about math.
Oh, well,
Well,
that's a good
imagine if
thing.
Mrs. King hadn't told me which way the slope of the line went.
I
I
know,
could have
Mrs.
killed
King.
somebody.
I
I
didn't
probably
know
wouldn't have
that
gotten
Mrs.
in.
King was going to have such impact in this episode, and I'm glad she is. So, Mrs. King, thank you. We hope you're listening. What about any gadgets or gizmos that you use in your classroom? Have you got anything that you like to use?
I always liked using Poll Everywhere just to know where
Oh,
people
okay.
were. If they, I wasn't big on ever calling on people verbally. I don't, the psychological safety in the classroom was not there. Yeah, Poll Everywhere was good to help
Yeah, it
know
lets
where
people
people
kind of
were.
opt in, doesn't it? It's a nice little piece of
Yes.
technology. I've used it. It's good. I like that too. What is it that you wish you knew on your first day of teaching?
I wish that I had known it wasn't as serious as I thought it was, that I was going to mess up, that I was going to mess up all the time in front of a whole group of people, and that was okay. And I wish I had known to come up with routines and practices that centered me all the time or at different times throughout the day. You know, you could just take a deep breath every time when you open the classroom door and walk in there, or visualize leaving everything behind you as you walk in the classroom. And I also wish I had known that not everyone would love me, and that's okay.
That is okay. Well, we love you, Elaine. And so
Well,
does
thank
Mrs.
you. I love you
King.
all.
I was thinking the
Thank
same thing, Pat. Look,
you.
we love you and we support you and we're in your corner.
That's the
Thank
great thing
you.
about great teachers. You know, we have this camaraderie about us. So now, what is something that you do on the first day of class, Elaine, or the first session if you're teaching online? What is something that you do that you think is a good practice for you or your students?
I always felt like it was important for me to let them know who I was, where I was from, and you know, something that I love to do. And then would usually ask them to upload to Blackboard the same thing, who they were, where they were from,
Yeah,
what
kind
they
of
love to do.
reveal who you are rather than just be some sage on the stage or a, you know, photograph in an online classroom. So now
Yes.
here comes the part of our interview. It's a question. It's a Proust question, kind of like one from Marcel Proust, the great essayist. So here it is, and it's totally off guard. You don't have any preparation. Ready?
I'm ready.
As an instructor, what is your most treasured possession and why?
I'm currently reading the book, what's it called? A New Earth. Talks about relinquishing all your possessions. I'm not sure I have a treasured possession.
So maybe that's it.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
The wisdom
That's
is
good.
within us, right? We just have
Right.
to uncover it.
Very good.
Oh, less is more.
Yes.
It's like your
Less
empty
creates,
bowl,
yeah.
Steve.
The rigid minimal structure is the void that's created when you take away. And in fact, in teaching, the basics are enriched by removing, not by adding, right?
Yes, that's definitely, we see that work in the seminars for sure.
So, speaking of the seminars, and in closing, Elaine, What is your favorite part of your last seminar and why?
So the last seminar that I went to was the Kentucky National Great Teacher Seminar. And I think my favorite part was interacting with the younger teachers that were just out of school and just starting to in their teaching career. They gave me so much optimism and hope. You can turn on the news and know what's going on around the world, and I think that's important, but it can really get you down. And there were just some magnificent people who you could tell were doing soul-inspired work that were like in their 20s. And I loved getting to know them.
Well, Elaine, thank you so much for joining us today.
I want to thank Elaine for her participation and contribution to the Great Teachers Movement.
Thank you for having me.
And that wraps up another incredible episode of the Great Teachers Movement podcast.
We hope you enjoyed diving into the world of education with us today.
Remember, the journey of learning never ends. Keep seeking knowledge and inspiring others along the way.
Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, keep teaching, keep learning, and keep making a difference.
Goodbye for now, and see you in the next episode. Are you hunching over your laptop, wrecking your back and productivity? Enter the Roost Laptop Stand, your ergonomic hero. Sleek, foldable, and feather light, it's your go-to for on-the-go comfort. 7 height settings ensure perfect posture every time. Say goodbye to discomfort, hello to productivity. Get your Roost today. Visit the RoostStand.com website now and elevate your workspace. Roost, where comfort meets convenience. Join me and thousands of others who've revolutionized their relationship with their laptop using the Roost. Visit the Roost website today at TheRoostStand.com and take your videos to new heights. Tell them you heard about it on the GTM podcast. Subscribe to our podcast, and you'll be entered into a drawing for your very own Roost. Catch us on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music and Audible, TuneIn Plus Alexa, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Listen Notes, Samsung, Podchaser, and Boom Play. The Great Teachers Movement Podcast, bringing the seminar experience to you, wherever you are. Get ready to open your mind and be a part of the movement.